Welcome to Real Talk with Ree for mums that want to go from surviving to thriving in motherhood in a neuro-spicy world. We'll be talking about how we can get more organized and minimize stress so that we can avoid burnout, have more quality time with our babies and breathing space in our lives. As a mum of children with autism, we'll be talking about the joys plus the challenges of parenting children on the spectrum. From first noticing the signs of autism through the diagnosis process to strategies to help you and your children stay happy, we're covering it all. As a 40-year-old woman recently diagnosed with ADHD, we'll also be talking about how all too often women and girls are going undiagnosed, why this is a problem, the misconceptions surrounding ADHD, the signs to look out for, and the simple things that we can put in place to make our lives easier. So whether you're a mum or a dad feeling disorganized and overwhelmed in the fog of parenthood, wondering if you or someone you love may be somewhere on the spectrum, or living in a neuro-spicy household, the Real Talk with Ree podcast is the place for you. Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Ree. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, today we are talking about ADHD in women and specifically in me. If you saw a recent video over on my main Mummy of Four UK channel, you will have heard me talk about the fact that I am currently awaiting an assessment to see if I actually have ADHD. So the full story is in that video, and I would just encourage you to watch it because it's going to explain it more thoroughly than I can right now. And I will link that below if you want to go and check that out. But in brief, just in case you want to go and watch it later and you want to still know what I'm talking about in this podcast episode, in brief, I am awaiting an assessment for ADHD. Basically, I had a chat with a friend of mine, Katie, from a fellow blogger from What Katie Said UK, a couple of years ago. I think it was back in 2021, and it was on Instagram Live, and we did this chat because she'd recently been diagnosed with ADHD, and I just thought, I heard her talk about the fact that it was just really rare for women to be diagnosed, and lots of little girls with ADHD get missed, and I thought it'd be valuable to share with my audience, so I said, look, come on, have a chat, it's going to be valuable, maybe it'll speak to someone, maybe they'll think, oh gosh, that sounds like me, and it'll help some people. Little did I know, the person it would speak to most was me. That is true. So I also have taken that whole chat, which is on Instagram Live and kind of hard to find. Instagram's not good at, you know, if you need to find older content, YouTube's much better for that. So I actually took that Instagram Live and I've put that on my main YouTube channel too. So I will also link that below. And that's that full conversation that really, if you watch that, you can sort of see it in my face. I'm like, oh, I do that. Or, oh, I used to think like that. Or I used to struggle with that until I put this in place. Or, oh, I struggle with that, which is why I do this. To pretty much everything she said. Almost every single thing she said. So fast forward a couple of years. And last year I was having some therapy for various reasons. Largely because I think everyone can do a little bit of a mental declutter at some point. And it can only help. Therapy, coaching, all that kind of stuff can only help us feel happier, declutter limiting beliefs, make us realize, you know, what's going on in our subconscious, what's running the show, and just ultimately help us all be a little bit happier. I don't think you have to be in the depths of depression or struggling to function totally in order to benefit from therapy. I think everyone can benefit from therapy, and I think there's a very common misconception that needing therapy is a bad thing. Anyway, whole other topic. But I had some therapy, and I just realized that this, do I have ADHD, do I not have ADHD, was something I felt I needed to know about myself. Because I guess, sorry, alarm going off. Because I guess it is relevant when you're dealing with yourself in the same way that you, like, I needed to know, do my children have autism or not have autism? So I knew how to best take care of them. When we understand our own brains, we know how to best take care of ourselves. And if you know what your specific struggles are, then you know how to help yourself. So I know there are certain types of dyslexia I don't fully understand, but it is my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're one of these people that uses this, that certain types of dyslexia, if you put coloured sheets of, you know, the clear but coloured, the see-through sheets, am I making any sense, over the writing, it makes it easier to read and the words don't drop off the page so much. So knowing that would mean that you can put that in place and you can read easier. Or knowing you're slightly short-sighted and you wear glasses, then you can just make your life easier by being able to see and not having to squint, you know? And I feel like having an ADHD assessment and telling me, yes, this is a struggle of mine, or no, it's not, I can maybe also be a little kinder to myself so I can know what to implement in order to help myself and just stop second-guessing myself. So anyway, I am currently at this point in time awaiting an assessment. It is coming up quite soon. It is April and the assessment is later this month. So watch this space. There will be, I think I'll probably vlog that week on my main channel. And then we'll definitely have a chat here on the podcast. So if you are subscribed to the YouTube podcast channel or whichever podcast provider that you have, then that will just pop up in your feed so you can not miss that. Anyway, that's a very long-winded introduction into today's episode, which is, I just thought this was a really good place. This is one of the reasons I love the podcast, to respond to comments I've received on my videos. So largely, I feel like my main channel is kind of where I can, you know, share the bare bones, the nuts and bolts of what's going on. So for example, on my main channel, I'll do a video probably about the assessment process because anyone awaiting assessment may find that helpful. And I'll cover in that main video on my main channel, I'll probably cover exactly what happens and the procedures and, you know, so you know the facts of what needs to happen. And then here we can come here to the podcast and we can have a chat and we can respond to the comments and we can chill out a little bit together and discuss. So let's discuss really. I've got a whole bunch of comments being pulled at random. I had so many comments on that video and 99.9% of them were just so supportive and so lovely. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was really nervous about releasing that video. I'm not even 100% why. I think it's just, I mean, doing anything where you put yourself out there that little bit more is always a little bit nerve-wracking, I guess. So that, yeah, that was a little bit nerve-wracking. I guess fear of judgment, and not for having ADHD. Like, I don't care if anyone's like, I do have ADHD, I don't have ADHD. That genuinely doesn't bother me. If they tell me I do or they tell me I don't, like, I'm cool. I just want to know. So I'm not worried about being judged for having or not having ADHD. I think I worried about trolls. Perhaps this is the thing we should do, is actually think, well, what am I really worried about here? People saying mean things? I don't know. Anyway, I was, and for all of those of you that sent me just such lovely comments, such lovely DMs, thank you. It does mean the world. So hopefully some of those are in here. Who knows? They've been pulled at random. Okay, so I will try and read out some of the screen names where I can. Some people's screen names are like user XY blah, 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 blah. So they're a bit harder to read out. But anyway, so JWB52Z9, I think I just read the actual letters, username, that's the username. Google says that if a parent has ADHD, their children are 2.5 times more likely to be autistic. So this definitely checks out. Much love. Okay, if that is true, someone Google that. My children have autism, or four of them have autism, which you may not know if you're new around here, if you're new, hello. So yeah, all four of them have autism. I always put that down to the fact that there are other adults, both sides of the family, so that's my husband's side and my side, that do not have a formal autism diagnosis, but to me and many other family members, from what we now understand of autism, quite clearly display autism traits and quite clearly have greater struggles than my children do. Possibly because they didn't have early intervention like my children have. I don't know. But I always put it down to that. But now, obviously, if I have ADHD as well, and that, it's all spectrum, isn't it? It's all kind of the same umbrella of neurodiversity. So yeah, I guess it does check out. But yeah, there are definitely autism traits in family members, both sides. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, so Show Love X says, thank you for being so vulnerable and honest, Re. I'm so glad neurological disorders are being spoken about more regularly. Me too. I actually think it's genuinely important to do this, which is why I do it. My son is currently awaiting ASD assessment. I'm also on the wait list now after discovering traits in myself. I'm good. It's good to be open and honest with yourself, so be proud. Sending love to you and your family. Thank you so much. And yeah, honestly, I genuinely believe it is so important to have these discussions. When I was growing up, I think I knew of one person with autism, and it's not autism in the way that my children have it, because obviously autism is a massive spectrum. So I can't think of anyone I knew at all with ADHD, actually. Can I? No, I think a whole bunch of people had been diagnosed with dyslexia is kind of the only one I can think of that was being commonly diagnosed. Obviously, I'm 40, so this was quite some time ago. It is becoming more common. Now, there probably were some people, but I don't think it was autism, ADHD, anything like that was being picked up in the way that it is now. But then I don't think the understanding was there. So say I knew this one person with autism, and this person was totally nonverbal, and therefore that's what I thought autism was. And obviously it can be that, but it can be so many other things too. Okay, so Boogie Woogie Views, cool username, says, I have ADHD and my partner has ADHD and autism, and don't take this wrong, but I see autism in yourself and wonder if the assessor will pick this up. Interesting. Okay, first of all, I don't take it the wrong way at all. No offense, like none taken. If I do have autism traits as well as ADHD traits and someone in a professional capacity wants to point that out to me, then, you know, like I'm all ears, whatever. Now, I read a similar comment to this. I can't remember if it was that one or another one. And I then went and did an autism, like an online, what's it called? I'm just trying to find it here. Like an online, I don't want to say quiz, but it's basically the quiz just makes it sound like something out of Cosmo, doesn't it? But it's the sort of a questionnaire that I did with my husband quite some time ago after we watched, I think we watched a program online about adults being diagnosed. And the you can Google these yourself. They're online, and it's for the AQ, which is the autism spectrum quotient, okay? And then the empathy quotient, which is the EQ. So these online like quiz things, you can find them done by sort of big professional bodies, and they give you your autism spectrum quotient and your empathy quotient. And if you answer those honestly, then that will give not a diagnosis, but an indication where you may fall on the spectrum. So out of curiosity, I did this test because I was like, oh, okay, is this something I've missed yet? Yeah, anyway, I just thought it was really interesting, so I did this test. And when I found the test, I'd remembered that I'd done it some time ago. Now, I can't remember the exact scores, but I know that mine came out similar to the ones I'm about to share with you now, and my husband's came out, well, I'll share that in a second. Anyway, so the autism spectrum quotient, my score was 6, and it says under here, the maximum score you can get is 50, and 80% of AS, so that's autism spectrum, patients score 32 or more. So statistically, if you were to score 32 or more, or around 32 or more, then it is likely that you are on the autism spectrum. Okay?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Are you fed up of feeling crazy, busy, and super disorganized all the time? Well, I've got you covered with my new Organized Life Planner, which is here to help you get your life back on track. With a yearly overview, weekly planning, daily planning, task prioritizing, meal planning, birthday planning, weekly reflections, journaling, notes, and more, this planner is perfect for busy mums who want to get organized and stay motivated. Get your copy now in digital or printed format and start planning your life today by visiting mummyof4.com/planner or using the link down in the show notes. Then there's the empathy quotient, which is the EQ, and I scored 68 on that. The maximum you can get is 80, and 80% of AS patients score 30 or less, and so I scored 60. So according to that, it doesn't indicate that I am on the autism spectrum. I mean, it is a spectrum, so all of us will have, not all of us, but some people will have some traits, some mild traits, but not be enough to really qualify to be on the spectrum, if you know what I mean. So it's not totally cut and dry. It's a spectrum. However, I think the results of this kind of fall in line with how I identify the struggles I identify that I have versus the struggles that the children have, and indeed my husband. So when he did the same test, I cannot remember the numbers. I'm going to have to sit and do it with him again. But basically, his scores fell within that 80% of AS patients scored this. His scores were more in line with those. So I think, so he doesn't have a formal diagnosis, but the more I learned about autism through the children, my children have been my greatest teachers and my greatest inspiration to go and learn from reading a lot, watching a lot of videos, reading a lot, learning a lot, then his challenges fall more in line with the children's. My challenges are more like walking into a room and having no idea why I'm there. I'm like, oh, gone. Or it drives them all nuts how difficult I find it to find my phone. Honestly, my Apple Watch, right? The one thing I use my Apple Watch more than anything for is when you press that button and it goes, oh, there's my phone. Yeah, literally, my phone could be almost in my hand and I'll be pinging it because I can't find it. And my husband's like, seriously, you can't find it again. It's right there. So we both have different challenges. I would not be surprised at all if both myself and my husband are neurodiverse, but I would say he kind of falls more in line with the children with autism, and I fall more in line with ADHD. So obviously, if a specialist wants to point something out or note that I have certain traits, I will not be offended, just as I was not offended with that comment, but I'll just be curious. I think the more we can learn about ourselves, the healthier it can be, the easier our lives can be, the happier we can be. You know, it's just, there we go. Okay, so Love Life Art 486. My first thought was, why label yourself when you're perfectly functional adults? It won't change anything. True to a degree, but so before I carry on reading this, I do feel it was more important to get the children assessed than for me, because there is stuff I wanted to access for them. So for the children, as their mother, I needed to be able to access additional help in school. Now, I feel that in primary school, probably not the case in all primary schools, but my children's primary school, the staff are so, like, genuinely amazing. So genuinely amazing that they manage their needs very, very well. My concern was when the children move to secondary school and they have, 10, 11 different teachers, without having the understanding of their challenges, they may not be able to have the empathy to offer them the support they needed. And I didn't want them to just be labelled as difficult, naughty, you know, all the things that I think kids I was growing up with were labelled as when they actually just needed extra support. And the other thing is, if they were, like, I don't know if by the time they get to GCSE age, they will need extra time in their exams or not. That's for, you know, the educational psychologist or whatever to determine. But if they need that kind of thing, then I can access that for them. So I would agree that it is more important for my children than for me. However, for my own understanding of myself, for my sanity, for my mental health, and just so that I can run the most efficient version of myself in order to take care of my family, then I do feel it is important for myself. So sorry, I've interrupted reading a comment. But anyway, she goes on to say, but after listening to you, if it helps, then it's right for you. Thank you. Yeah, I think that's what I was getting to. I've thought a few times that you're a little limited in your interests, but over the top at the same time. Okay. That's not a criticism, just my observation. One thing that hits home is when you said, I have fits and starts with swimming for fits and starts. I think she means when I was talking about with fitness, like some, you know, it's like you kind of go all in or not. And she said, with swimming for fitness. And the one thing that stops me going is boredom while I'm swimming. I don't know what to do with my mind while swimming lengths. Yeah, I think what I talked about was, like, I just cannot quiet my mind. And things like yoga are a real struggle for me, and I get bored really, really easily. Now, someone that I used to dance with as a teenager, who is now an adult, she said that lots of dancers have ADHD because dancing, when you're doing choreography, it's not boring because you've actually got so much to process mentally, and it's like, you've got to do this and this, and, you know, you're like 5, 6, 7, 8, right, head, you know, so that kind of fills the space in your head because you have to think of all that stuff and keep your brain very, very active. And that makes so much sense. So for me, running, I just find it so boring. And I'm like, it's so tedious, and it just seems to stretch out in front of me for ages. And I'm like, oh, is it over yet? And the number of times I've started Couch to 5K, I have given up now. I've officially given up on starting running because I've just realized, why am I trying to force myself to do something I hate? Why am I doing it? Why would I do that? So yeah, I think the point that she's making is she finds it very difficult, you know, to like clear her mind, or she gets bored when she's swimming. And I'm the same. My mind's like racing. And I just thought that was, I don't like to use the word normal, but I thought that was normal, as in I thought everyone was like that. And I've always put it down to mum life. So when I started my channel, I was like, wow, mum life is crazy. How do people cope with this? And then I sort of done so much research every time I was having a baby, it's like, right, well, if I really don't get my act together now, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to be in big trouble. I've really got to get my act together. I've got to make sure that I'm all over it, that things are going to be okay, that, you know, I get organized. Otherwise, it's all going to, the wheels are going to come off because I've just got so much on my plate. And I always just put it back down to not having a great deal of family support, to having a lot of children. And I thought that all mum's brains were like baby brain, like mine. And it now turns out that maybe some people can quiet their minds. I genuinely don't know how to do that. It sounds ridiculous, but you know, like meditate, quiet your mind. Like, well, that's a thing. That's something that humans can do. Really? It confuses me. Okay, so next, Courtney Ash. 5442 says, thanks so much for sharing me. I have ADHD and I won't lie, getting diagnosed was a nightmare. I'm sorry to hear that. It took me 8 years to get a doctor to even listen to me about my concerns. That is awful. One thing I will say, I think doctors, you know, all health professionals really, it's kind of luck of the draw who you get, isn't it? So sometimes you get someone that's like, they're amazing. You get why they're in a caring health profession. And sometimes you're like, you know, seem to like people. Why are you doing this job? And it's just, some are really good and some are just not. So I guess what I'd urge you to say, if you are not being taken seriously by someone, to go and see someone else, because hopefully you will get different levels of empathy and understanding from different doctors. Eventually I was put on a 3-year wait list, and due to my impatience caused by my ADHD, I ended up paying to go private. Well, that kind of tracks, I guess. They diagnosed me with ASD as well, which I found really interesting, as it was something I never saw in myself, but now I look at all the signs, it's totally me. Yeah, I think this is often the thing with anything. It's like, you know, hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? So before my children were diagnosed, I look back at that time where I had doubt. Do they have this? Do they not have this? Or look back slightly further where I didn't even understand what autism was. And then I think, how could I not have seen that? It seems so obvious now, but hey, hindsight's 20/20. Okay, Laura Robinson says, hi Ree, my 10-year-old son is currently going through an ASD assessment. It's taken 4 years. It's so awful, isn't it? The more research I do and learn about him, the more I recognize it in myself, and I'm convinced I'm on the spectrum too. Good luck with everything. I hope you figure it all out. This is such a common story, I think, that people realize their children have needs, because I think we're much more tuned into our children's needs than we are our own. And then we then like, oh, okay, I spot that in myself or my husband or my family. And it just suddenly becomes like, it just feels really glaringly obvious. One thing I will say, I think one thing I was worried about, I suppose, is I was worried that someone was going to be upset with me for going to get an assessment when they thought that someone else, some other adult or child, needed it more than me. I think that was something I was concerned about, people being upset about when I put the video out, which, I mean, when I say that out loud, it sounds mad, really, doesn't it? Because everyone like has their own struggles, but equally, like, I am not taking a spot of anybody else's child because it's a totally different system. It's odd, actually. I'm thinking about this, how the system works in Wales, at least. So the children under 5 are diagnosed through paediatrics, through the NHS. Then they're moved into this school section where it kind of goes through the education system. And then obviously when you're not in education anymore, it goes back to the NHS, but then it's the adult sort of neurodiverse section, not the pediatrics. So they are like 3 distinct bodies, I suppose, doing these assessments. So me going for an assessment, okay, there are the adults going, but there are no other children in the same system. So I guess I'm not taking anyone's place. So yeah, I don't know. that was another concern I had. Yeah. Anyway, Laura Crane. Oh my God, I'm actually crying at this announcement. ADHD emotional overwhelm. I totally missed the initial video, but I know exactly what you're going through, diagnosed at 42 years old. Yeah. So, well, if this assessment see, this is going ahead this month. I think they give you the results on the day. That's not what they do with autism. But I've heard, shout out and let me know if you're watching on YouTube, you can down in the comments. But I think the other people I've spoken to had the results on the day. But I'll just feedback and let you know. Rachel Dehan says, this was mind-blowing. Thank you so much. So I don't know if that kind of speaks to you, Rachel. That means you have your own, like, some light bulb moment about yourself. I'm not sure. Okay, Mini SE5SN says, thanks for sharing this, Ria. I'm 32 and been diagnosed last year. Just started medication. Your vlog, talking about your kids' assessment, etc., pushed me to get myself assessed. It was so much help. I know you definitely have support in your family, but I'm hoping this community give you some as much support as you give us. Oh, that's really lovely. And I think this is why, when I'm like getting a bit wobbly about, is it right? Like, should I keep talking about this stuff or whatever? Or when I get, you know, I think sadly the fact that, you know, anyone online gets trolling comments at some point. It's not right. But it is kind of a fact of life. And when I do get those comments, and then I read something like that, like, because of something I've said, then it's triggered something for someone else to go and have a conversation with a doctor, and then they get help and then they feel so much better. That's so worthwhile, and it really makes me feel like this is worthwhile. It reminds me why I'm doing this and why it's so important. Okay, user and OD3B, big long name. I'm 39-year-old woman. Past diagnoses include borderline and bipolar. I have neither. I have ADHD. I can't tell you how relieved I am. I think this is a really common story that people used to get diagnosed with other things when actually it turned out just to be ADHD. Okay, Sarah Mirago. Sorry, struggling to pronounce all these. I have watched your channel for a while and I have 3 children with autism, hypermobility and dyspraxia. My physio told me while I was in my 30s, actually, apparently I'm hypermobile. Okay, sorry, if you're listening on the podcast, you can't see this now, but like, I have double jointed thumbs and stuff. Apparently that's a sign of hypermobility, and I am like quite flexible, and like, I like sit on my knees comfortably, and like, normally I will sit with my legs crossed and that's quite comfortable. Apparently that means I'm hypermobile, and apparently there is some sort of link between ADHD and hypermobility too. I did not know that, but yeah, that apparently. Back to Sarah. She certainly sees that her children love routine and they are best with routine. My daughter needs to have things completely organised, as disorganisation is a trigger. I know you're really organised. It's hard to tell if it's your way of coping to avoid escalation in your mental state, or if it's normal as you have children's care needs in addition to your other responsibilities. And I think this is something that's definitely like played on my mind a lot. How much of my need to be organised, I always thought initially I need to get more organised because I feel so disorganised and I need to like make sure I'm there for my children. And when I had just my first child, I did not feel organized. I felt like I was failing, and then I'd, you know, be last minute trying to organize dressing up costumes for school and things. It just made me feel like a really bad mum. And I was brought up in not an organized home. It was not something that was taught to us. It was not something that came naturally. So procrastination was very normal. And I realized that as I was a mum, that I just felt like I was failing him by not being organized enough, and that really gave me a kick up the backside to want to do better. And that kind of then, as I had more children, I think I said this earlier, I just felt like, wow, if I don't get more organized now, I'm gonna have more to do and I'm gonna let them down more. I just didn't want to let them down. So ultimately it came from a place initially when they were little of just wanting to be a good mum, and I felt that being disorganized meant I missed things and then I didn't have what they needed and things. And then as I think the first needs that were really apparent were William's, my second child. When he was very small, he had very rigid, you know, what he liked, what he didn't like. And there would have been a lot of upset if that stuff hadn't been there for him. So I had to be organized in order to meet his needs. So yeah, a lot of it is like there for my children. Has that then helped me? I mean, probably. I think my brain, I'm sort of talking as if I assume I have ADHD now, but I think I'd almost be surprised if they said I didn't at this stage. I wouldn't be disappointed either way, or happy either way as such. I just want to know. But there are so many things that just like my brain feels like spaghetti, and I feel like having my planners have changed my life. I've got to say, I designed my own planners because there were not any that fitted my needs and my brain. So I have a planner store. That will all be linked below. Please do go and check it out. But basically, my planners have changed, like using my planners has absolutely changed my life, because my spaghetti brain can be untangled and things that feel like thoughts that feel like they're going to just leave my head forever, I can get down into my planner and I know exactly where they are. My thoughts are organized even if my brain is not. And I get like great ideas of things like, oh, I really want to do this. I want to do this video. I want to do this podcast. Blah, blah, blah. But I'm so scared that the idea is just going to go and I won't be able to access it again. I feel like if I don't like capture my ideas when they come, they just float off into space and I'll be thinking, I had a really good idea and I can't remember what it was. And it's really frustrating. So definitely getting more organized has helped my very tangled brain. But like I said, I just always put that down to mum life and having a lot to juggle. I guess only the assessment will tell. Okay, so she said, I think whatever the findings, you're the most amazing parent. Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you. And you've given your children stability and routine, which is just what they need. I'm thinking about you and hope you have the answers soon. Well done for speaking out. Thank you. Okay, another user, long username. It was because of your chat with Katie, I thought I might have ADHD. And because of that, I pushed for an assessment. Well, I've had so many messages like that. That very chat, it was only on Instagram. And Instagram isn't good at serving up old content, is it? So if it was on YouTube and people still watching it, I wouldn't be surprised. But the fact that this, you know, this has come from Instagram, you know, not so, considering the amount of people that would have seen that live, it wouldn't have been that high. So I have so many messages about it all the time. So because of your chat with Katie, I thought I might have ADHD, and because of that, I pushed for an assessment. I'm in England and got an appointment quicker through the Right to Choose. Yeah, the Right to Choose system. I'm not sure if that's still the case in England now, but when Katie went through it back in 2021, we're supposed to go to the doctor in England and say, I'd like to invoke my right to choose, and you choose your provider, and you basically get fast track for an ADHD assessment. Not sure if Wales uses that system too. It does not. Since then, I've been diagnosed. It's changed my life. The validation is real. My eldest son, age 9, has also been diagnosed. My husband has been diagnosed, and my younger 3 children will also be assessed. We have a strong family connection with it. Even go back to grandparents, although never diagnosed. I know, see the traits. Pretty common, I think, there. So many coping strategies like setting alarms, using baskets, etc. have come from you. Thank you and good luck. Yeah, my alarms. I have alarms that go off all day, and I've always like shared this as a parenting hack because I thought it would help everyone. Maybe it would help everyone, but it'll certainly help people with ADHD, apparently. The reason I have alarms all day, so I have alarms so I don't have to clock watch, because without alarms, I'm either oblivious to the time and time blind, or I'm clock watching, so I'm not being productive. I'm so busy watching the clock that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I have an alarm that says, right, it's time to go downstairs for breakfast. And that G's all the children up. It's like, it's not me nagging. It's the alarm's gone off, you know, let's go. An alarm that's time for end of breakfast. Again, it's not me nagging. It's like, it's time to clear up from breakfast. And then I have an alarm when it's time to put shoes on for school. I have an alarm that's half an hour before it's time to wind up for work. So that's kind of to gee me into, okay, like wrap it up, start wrapping it up. And then I have an actual time to leave for school. And again, I would not forget to get my children. I say that. It's like, not that I would forget about my children, but I do worry I would become so engrossed in a task, I would become time blind, or I would fail to be productive and focus on the tasks I was worried about the time. So the alarms really helped me for that reason. Okay. Care Bear says, if I was a child growing up now, I would definitely have been diagnosed with ADHD. I think that's such a common story. I was impulsive, couldn't sit still, always in trouble at school and couldn't concentrate. As I got older, it turned into anxiety, not enough to not be able to handle it, but I worry about things and have trouble sleeping, shutting my brain off. Yeah, do you know what? I go to sleep with like a hypnosis track with one AirPod in my ear most nights because I find that it's not productive. So it's just kind of mad, isn't it? I had so many years of sleepless nights. I'm like, I am not lying here, not being able to sleep when I've got the opportunity to sleep and then being tired. I can't accept that. So I have one AirPod in my ear and that way I can still hear the children and also I can switch it over when one goes flat. And I listen to hypnosis tracks because then I'm out like a light and it helps me switch off my brain and go to sleep quickly. So for me, that's an amazing hack. As I got older, it turned into anxiety. Oh, we've read that bit. Certain things make me panic. My 14-year-old daughter has depression and anxiety. She's been treated. And watching your videos, I wonder if she has autism too slightly. Who knows? Only assessment will tell you. Wonder if we're trying to find the right medication for her. Good luck with your assessment. It's a tough journey. I mean, everyone's just been so lovely and supportive. And then that's just like an absolute snapshot of some of the comments I've had. So if one of those came from you, if you have sent in other comments or DMs, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I will be updating you. I will be keeping you all in the loop. I will be keeping everyone updated with the answers, really. I'll be curious to know what the assessment looks like. I will be curious to know if I find it stressful. I will be curious to know if I go into like shutdown mode shock like I did after the children's, which I don't even think was anything other than like kind of like getting ill on your first days of annual leave, you know, where you've just been pushing, and then bleh. I think that was the main thing. But you can go back and watch the videos on my channel, my main channel, about autism and when the children were assessed. And I did kind of go into a few hours of like going into shock, probably a bit dramatic, but of just not wanting to speak to anyone and just feeling really like zoned out. So will I feel like that? I don't know. I feel like the fight hasn't been as much, and I feel like the stakes aren't as high. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. So make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss all the updates. If you have any questions, then you can leave them below. If you're watching on YouTube, you can send me messages, DMs over on my Mummy4UK Instagram, my Real Talk with Ree podcast Instagram. Share this podcast if you found it helpful. The very kindest thing you can do to help support me is you can give it a like, a share, a comment if you are on YouTube. But review it. If you can review it through your podcast provider, I'd be so grateful. Subscribe to the channel. Do all those things. It just really, really helps to, you know, it just helps. And if there is someone that you think this would benefit, you know, then please just share it with them. Share this podcast episode with them. Send it to them in a text message. Those personal referrals really, really do help. So thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Real Talk with Ree. You can check out early release content over on my Patreon. You can check out my planner store so you can help your brain get organized if it's as tangled as mine. And I shall see you in the next episode of Real Talk with Ree. Bye.